Well, we are excited to bring you another of our conservation conversations. This is a partnership with Northern Waters Land Trust, and today we're going to be learning about their working with the Initiative Foundation. Joining us is Annie Knight and John Sumption from Northern Waters Land Trust, and their guest Don Hickman. Annie, John, thanks for being here.
Thank you, Heidi. It's always good to be with you too, of course. I will admit there's a reason that I am in conservation and not in public radio. I have a longstanding aversion to raising money, which would do you no good this week. Absolutely. The one exception to that rule is our guest today, Don Hickman. I've been accused repeatedly of having my hand in his pocket for the last 30 years. So a longtime friend and a great partner. And Annie, why don't you introduce this gentleman?
I'd love to. Yeah. Okay. So we have Don with us today. Don is the Vice President of Community and Workforce Development at the Little Falls-based Initiative Foundation, where he has worked for nearly 22 years. Prior to that, he also enjoyed a nearly 20-year career as an environmental scientist, including chapters as a National Park Service biologist, the manager of a water quality laboratory, a community organizer, a lobbyist, and as a consultant. We're thrilled to have you with us, Don. Maybe just to start us off, do you want to tell us a little bit about what is the Initiative Foundation and how does it serve our area?
Thanks, Annie. And first, I have to say how much I love KXE. Heidi, don't cut the mic. I'll make sure Sandy gets the membership.
Yep.
When I was a starving student living on a raft in the Grand Canyon, my wife flew me into to Brainerd, put on KXE, put me on the Paul Bunyan Trail, and took me to the Winnipeg Folk Festival to show that this was a civilized place. And it worked. And here we are, happily married 26 years later.
Well, Don, thank you for your longtime membership, and you served on our board of directors. And also, how fun to run into you guys at the Grand Rapids River Fest. Thank you for coming to that. That was a great, great time.
John and Annie, too.
Yeah.
So, Annie, what is the Initiative Foundation?
There we go.
We are a 36-year-old regional community foundation. We serve the 14 counties of central Minnesota, 163 cities, and two sovereign tribal nations. As most listeners likely know, a community foundation is basically a grant-making entity. We also host funds to support the philanthropic wishes of donors. So we'll write grants. We've often been an intermediary for federal or state grants, but we also have very generous donors, just like KXE members, who say, gosh, there's an issue that I'm really passionate about. I want to make sure you have the assets, the resources to be successful. I snuck in my nose under the tent 22 years ago as their first environmental program officer. And that's when I first met John. And he and I led a program for almost 15 years called the Healthy Lakes and Rivers Partnership, where we would support science-based, citizen-led lake management planning, and then give the communities that had done so grants to implement their top priorities. And it was a glorious run. We really had fun. I think John helped inspect more than 10,000 septic systems in Cass County alone. And we were in at the early stages of aquatic invasive species management, lakeshore restoration, all kinds of wonderful, wonderful projects. More recently, we got $4 million from the Lessard Sam's Outdoor Heritage Commission, and that in your service area as well as others.
Well, we did just get another pledge. Don, we heard from Lori Shawl, and she lives in St. Paul, and she is wondering, John Latimer, you have offered a phenology walk.
I have. Anyone,
and she said she wondered if you would consider a phenology tour where he works at Spruce. I went to a fish fry fundraiser, and I had a great time listening to him and learning about the bog at Long Lake Conservation Center. I'm already a member, but I'm upping my membership to get the long sleeve t-shirt. John is basically the reason I started listening regularly to KXE. We rented a cabin last summer in Aiken. When I first tuned in, I heard John talking about his phenology observations, and I thought, what station is this? because this is exactly what I'm interested in listening to on a daily basis. What other station can I hear so much about science and nature regularly, like the Conservation Conversations and Laura Erickson and Tornado Bob and National Native News? And thank you, Lori. She says, I do a wonderful job. Thank you for all your hard work. We now have a cabin in McGregor. We're at it for about half the year in St. Paul, the other half, but I tune in regularly from both locations. Lori, thank you so much. And I'll twist his arm. We'll see what happens.
Lori, if you want a tour of the Spruce site, all we need to do is establish a time, and I would be happy to take you up there.
So let's continue our conservation conversation right now. The number to call is 800-662-5799. Annie, let's talk a little bit more about your connection with Initiative Foundation and what Northern Waters Land Trust is working on.
Yeah, well, actually, I might defer to John. John has a great history of our connection with the Initiative Foundation and how we started. Don and Don had alluded to them, John and Don having a great friendship that started, and then that has just grown into a relationship and collaboration with Northern Waters Land Trust. So, John, take it away.
One of the things that one of the services that the Initiative Foundation provides to local groups like ours is umbrella financial support and financial management. And I'll let Don elaborate on that in just a minute. But they, as we endeavor to raise money, just like KAXE is doing right now, they help us house those funds and manage them so that we get the best bang for our buck. And so that's been a great great service to our organization. The other thing that we're exploring right now is, we've traditionally been a water quality based organization, and we've endeavored to preserve the land resources that protect that water. We're about to explore a whole new avenue for us, and that is the area of carbon sequestration, which is very compatible with our current goals. In other words, if we can preserve forests, if we can preserve air quality, obviously that's going to have a positive effect on water quality as well. So we're looking at a project to enlist a large group of people to work on that issue. And to help do specifically, I think, reforestation to achieve that goal. Don, backtracking just a bit, do you want to talk about the financial services that you provide to NGOs and local organizations?
Yeah, John, you did a pretty good job, and I want to get to that carbon sequestration conversation. But in a nutshell, groups like yours often have a couple different vehicles with us. One is an endowment, where if someone's setting up an estate gift and wants to have permanent impact, they could put money in an endowed fund, and the returns on that, the invested returns, will permanently support your work. But the other side of that is a group like yours needs ready access to cash as well for land acquisitions, payment of professionals to manage land easements, et cetera. And so we also support some non-endowed funds. And the needs are incredibly varied. Right now, most of my days are spent trying to improve access to quality, affordable, economically sustainable childcare. But there's also the days I get to work with partners like you.
Mm-hmm. Good. So let's. That said, Don, why don't we move into the carbon sequestration project?
Thank you. So once again, I serve a pretty rural area, and with nothing implied or intended, rural areas tend to be relatively politically conservative. An awful lot of funders tend to be urban-based and relatively politically liberal. And the funding community is quite eager to invest in ways to offset or mitigate climate change right now. Historically, climate change was a difficult conversation in our region. Not everyone believes in the science, or understands the science, or felt the cost might be too great. And so the new initiative is centered on the fact that there are activities out there that, especially at this moment, are very economically opportunistic. In other words, somebody could make money by doing the right thing. And the one that got us talking again for today was the recognition that woody biomass, meaning trees, are some of the most important offsets to carbon. And the more of them we can protect, preserve, or replant, the better. Forestry is a very important sector for the region both of us serve. And so talking to foresters, talking to landowners about what kind of compensation they would need to manage their forests for maximum carbon sequestration is the root of what we're trying to accomplish right now. And John and Annie, as you both alluded to, that's incredibly compatible with protection of water quality. And it doesn't mean cut no tree ever. In fact, just the opposite. Forests require some management in order to maximize their carbon sequestration potential. But we need wise foresters, and I am not one, but we need wise foresters to advise us to make sure we're managing those forests for maximum benefit for carbon sequestration.
Mm-hmm. So, excuse me, we're gonna take that challenge and run with it, and hopefully open a whole new avenue for us to secure conservation easements with the intent of reforestation and carbon sequestration. So this is it's a pretty exciting time for us, I think, in the conservation community.
John and Don, this is John. I'm curious. I know from my own experience that peat bogs sequester a lot of carbon, and they hold it for a long, long bit of time. When you're acquiring land, I'm assuming that some of the land you acquire has these bogs on them. Are you paying special attention to them? Do you seek them out as land to be protected, or because they're bogs, do they just naturally fall in that sort of who wants it kind of a category?
John, that's a great question. And one of the fun elements of this project is it reminds me how much I don't know. Paul Radomski, who I'm sure you've had on this show, is one of the smartest fellows I know in terms of lake ecology. I sat him down with Eli Sager, the forester, a few months ago. And it was so interesting because I think of them as two of the smartest ecologists around. And it was shocking how much they didn't know about the other fellow's area of expertise. Eli instantly said, if you're not protecting woody biomass, you're not having carbon sequestration benefit for long term. That a lot of forestry projects put forests in temporary carbon credit markets, but there's no lasting impact. And that if we wanted to have permanent impact, we needed to start managing forests for carbon sequestration. And Paul is so smart about figuring out how to buffer sensitive waters from runoff, which easements are a tool. To be honest, peat bogs never came up in the conversation. The really rich ones in Minnesota tend to be further east than I think where we'll likely focus around Leech Lake. But that's not to say we won't run into this issue, and we'll have to start asking that question and figure out how it figures into the algorithm or calculation of what we would pay to help manage maximum carbon sequestration.
John, I think as we look at a conservation easement to protect these parcels, that certainly could be a component and in fact could provide an additional scoring mechanism to say that if there is a peat bog on this property, along with areas that we are either preserving as forest or reforesting, we could certainly take that into consideration and say that gives this particular parcel a higher priority. We also could write into the conservation easement that, you know, specific language that says this peat bog will be preserved and never altered. So there's a couple of different mechanisms I could see that could very easily help protect those peatland areas.
Well,
I was just going to add that they certainly are a great source of carbon sequestration when they're allowed to operate without interference.
Well, exactly. I am afraid to say we could probably continue this conversation all day, but we are out of time. Annie, I wonder if you'd kind of tell people, give us a wrap up and how people can get more information.
Yeah, always open to emailing us, info@northernwaterslandtrust.org, or feel free to visit our website, northernwaterslandtrust.org, or just give us a ring. Our number is 218-547-4510 if you're a landowner interested in learning more about how our program fits your land, or if you just want to learn more about getting involved in our program.
And Don, how can people find out more about the Initiative Foundation?
You know, I'll give them my personal email. It's dhickman, H-I-C-K-M-A-N, at the letter I for initiative, found for foundation.org. dhickman@ifound.org. We don't have much on this up on our website yet. It's too new a project, and I hope to actually triple the money I've got available by the end of the week. So it's pretty breaking news, but we'd love to hear people's ideas and get folks engaged.
Sounds great. Thank you guys so much. It's great to partner with other nonprofits and hear about the great work being done in the natural world. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
It's the Tuesday Morning Show. We are looking for your pledge of support on day two of the Simple Gift membership drive. We provide you simple gifts of conversations about science.
Yeah.
About nature.
Yep.
You don't get that everywhere, as we heard from our last pledger.
Yeah, Lori was pretty eloquent on.
Yeah, no kidding. We need your support right now to keep it going. We've got Beale Street Caravan coming up and Pat Miller for On the River at 10. Call us at 800-662-5799.